welcome to church, a special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. My name is Diane. Helping me in today's service are our musicians Fiona, Young Lan and Rosemary. Reading to us from the Bible will be Roy, and Simon will lead us in prayer. And Trevor will be bringing our Bible teaching this morning. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose in life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Trevor, would you like to share a little bit about what we're going to hear of today?
Thanks, Diane. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you all. And those listening online, a special welcome to you too. Today, we're finishing off our little sermon series on going back to basics. And today we're thinking about the question, well, is it okay for Christians to be glad? It's a strange question to ask, but sometimes the sadness and the worries and the concern for the world, especially for the lost, can sometimes rob us of the joy of being known by Christ and living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. And today we're going back to one of the parables of Jesus again from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And we're thinking about where true joy is found. And so it's tied in with those parables. And it's also Palm Sunday today. Yeah, and where Jesus came triumphant into Jerusalem towards the cross. Right. Great. Thank you.
And again, our monthly mission focus for March is the Bush Church Aid Society and the Pharisee family who live in that lovely place near the Ord River, Kununurra. If you've ever been there, it's a fascinating place. And we also have our thoughts going to and our prayers going to Anglicare and their hospital chaplains, especially the Reverend David Anthony's, who we've had here a few times now, who's based at Concord Hospital. We're going to affirm our faith together before we start anything else, so you might like to join me. Oh, no, actually, I'll just say this one. We have come together as a church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another to hold fast to the hope he has given us and to spur one another to love and good deeds. And our sentence of scripture for today is from Philippians. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. We're going to have our first song, which is Lift Up Your Heads.
Good morning, everybody. This is just a reminder song that we are celebrating Palm Sunday together as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and that he is the King of Kings. So let's sing.
To stay riding in glory, Jesus.
Remaining standing, let us affirm with Christians across the ages what we believe about God and his love for us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Bible League began in Australia in 1970. The heart of our organisation was and is to serve the under-resourced church globally through the provision of Bibles, biblical resources and training to transform lives worldwide and help people meet Jesus. We focus basically on three different areas. The first is Project Philip, and essentially it teaches people basic discipleship and evangelism. The second is our Church Planter training program. Here, church planters are equipped with the knowledge and skills to go out and plant a church in their local community. Finally, we have Bible-based literacy. Here, we use biblical texts to teach people to read and write either in their home language or in English. We've even done some of that Bible-based literacy right here in Australia since 2017. Also in Australia, we run our Bringing Hope Behind Bars campaign, where we place prison Bibles into the hands of prisoners right around this country. Thank you for your interest in Bible League. I look forward to taking you on a journey to explore more about what we can do in partnership with you and many others who want to be able to place the Bible in the hands of those who need it.
I'd like to invite Hilton Edwards up now from the Bible League just to come up the front for a moment. And Hilton, it's great to have you here with us.
Yeah,
it's welcome.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here. I didn't know you had all those pics and videos and things like that. So.
It's just to recognise it is you.
You got the real man.
What is your actual full title in terms of the Bible League?
Okay, so I'm the Chief Executive Officer.
Wow.
Shortened, that means CEO.
Yep.
And I always say to people when they say that, you know, because in sort of secular or commercial organisation, yep, it's a Chief Executive Officer. I say, no. In my case, it's called, equipped, and sometimes obedient.
There's a reason why we've got Hilton out here today. But the reason is, I'm looking at Bill Hilton just before we get our young people and Minette and Anthony to come up and Naomi, Charlie and Irwin to come up. But just tell us, you know, about Bible League.
Because
it's the reason why Hilton is here is because our young people wanted us to hear about him. Right, and about the work of the Bible League.
Thank you. So, yeah, just a little bit about Bible League. Bible League was started in Australia in 1970, and it was actually started in the USA originally in 1938 by a bloke called William Chapman. He was on his deathbed in hospital, and he prayed a dangerous prayer. He said, one of the elders of the church came to visit him, and in the prayer he said, "Lord, if you spare my life, I will spend the rest of my life serving you." And be careful what you pray, because God will hold you to it. Okay, and so he started Bible League. He actually left the hospital, bought 1,000 Bibles, and went door knocking in Chicago. And basically said to people, you know, if you agree to read this, I will leave you with a copy. And that's really how Bible League started. And so today, we put the Bible into 78 countries around the world. And it's predominantly countries where people either can't afford a Bible or can't access a Bible. So affordability, obviously the poorer nations of the world, predominantly rural areas and slums. So slums are our biggest growing area of ministry. And then from an access perspective, we put Bibles into closed countries. So if a country is closed either because of Muslim domination or Muslim government, or communist countries now as well. So they can be closed for two different reasons. And then access also, we put Bibles into prisons because I don't think people are always aware, but there are currently 11.5 million prisoners worldwide. Yeah. Now, if you asked any mission group, would you like to reach 11.5 million people, they would say absolutely, definitely, yes. And so we've said absolutely, definitely, yes. And we are currently working in 42 countries in prisons. So it's a fairly large part of our ministry. In fact, one of the things we do in Australia is, you would have seen that guy on the video, he said, Bringing Hope Behind Bars. We actually do a radio campaign each and every year in February and March, and I go around to Christian radio stations right around the country, and we fund the ministry in prisons each year. So it's a great initiative here in Australia, and it's great to know that we're working in 42 countries. But the reality is we definitely don't do that alone. Bible League's ministry is based on Acts 8, where Philip comes alongside the Ethiopian. He says, how will I understand the scripture unless somebody comes alongside me and explains it? And that's exactly what we do. So what we do worldwide is we partner with the local church, you guys. We then partner with the local church in the countries we work. And so we train and equip and resource the local church. We don't go in as the clever people from Australia or anywhere else in the West and say we know how to do ministry and mission. We don't do that. We go and we partner with the local church. And so they are actually the ones delivering the programs and delivering the Word of God into the people's hands. At any given time, Bible League will have about 150 full-time workers worldwide. At any given time, we have 150,000 volunteers delivering programs worldwide. So it's a great model, because if you partner with a local church, they volunteers and they do the work and they are the ones best positioned. And so then what we do is we come alongside them and we resource them to be able to do the work.
Anthony, you want to bring Nanette and Naomi and Charlie up the front, and Erwin, you want to come up the front here? And I'll give you a microphone.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Nanette.
I am really excited to be standing here this morning to tell you about our wonderful Kids Church. Last year, when I was preparing a lesson for Kids Church, I felt a prompting by the Holy Spirit to not just teach them the Bible, but also to teach our youth to become practical Christians. It's one thing just coming to kids' church every week and then going home, but I wanted them to understand that they are part of the body of Christ. They are all, that you are all their brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as all the other Christians in the world. I wanted them in particular to become more aware of Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith and don't have access to Bibles. And that we are so fortunate in this country to have Bibles at our disposal. In fact, Erwin wanted to give all the Bibles we had in the back room. He said, why can't we just give those out? Anthony and I discussed this with the youth, and we put forth a challenge that if the five of us gave $1 each week, so it all started with $1, that in 12 months we would have... And literally, before I could even finish my sentence, Naomi got up, jumped up and said, oh, we would have a lot of money. She hadn't done the math yet, but she worked out that we would have a lot of money. And we calculated roughly that we would be able to raise in a year $240. So the three of them were extremely keen, and every week they would look forward to adding the next amount of money to the previous week's tally. And now... We haven't got 12 months' worth of money, I'm sorry. yet. Because we have only been collecting for 6 months and we had a bit of a gap and everything. But we thought if we aimed to raise at least $100, this would keep our youth focused and encouraged. So they had like a goal in sight. And we also wanted them to have the opportunity to meet somebody from Bible League. Thank you, Hilton, so that they could see where their money is going and how it is helping people. And in fact, we actually have managed to raise $110. And we are extremely proud of them. They have been really keen. They really took this on board and, they just loved what they're doing, and I really can see this group growing in their faith. Anthony would also like to say something.
Morning, everyone. So we would like to thank Hilton for coming out today, for giving up your Sunday. So on behalf of Charlie, Naomi and Erwin, our kids' church, we'd like to present you with a check for $110 for the amazing work that Bible League does. And Trevor, we'd also like to thank you as well for organising today.
Now that we know that what's happening here, it's good to see what our young people want to put their money towards mission. So it makes it easier. So I put it to all of us that next week, if we can bring something extra to church towards Bible League, we could do that for our Bible League. That'd be wonderful. What do you think about that? All right? We've been motivated by our young people, not by me or by the treasurer or that, just by the young people. When our young people tell us, I think you ought to listen, all right? So please do that, and then Hilton will forward that on to you in that time. But here is it. So, yeah, would you rather give that to Anthony?
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much. Thanks, Trevor, and thanks to the young people. I just want to present you with a certificate. So I thought I'd like to give you a certificate, certificate of appreciation to Abbotsford Anglican in recognition of the financial support that you are giving us. So a big thank you to each and every one of you. Okay? Okay?
Oh, good. Well done.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay, so yeah, just a big thank you.
Well, Hilton and Milton and Minette, I'm having a really hard stay tuned for the Bible story.
Right? Are you sure it's the Bible story?
Oh, yeah, Bible story. Well, let me pray with thanks. All right. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the person who brought us a Bible and or encouraged us to read the Bible or read it to us. Mm. And we met your son Jesus and what he did for us in putting us right with you. We thank you for that person. We thank you for them having the courage to give towards their time and their to let us have the Word of God in our hands. Mm. And we thank you, Father, again, for our youth, for encouraging us to think on the work of the Bible being placed in people's hands throughout the world. Bless them, we pray. And may this be not only an encouragement to them to keep doing this, but also to Hilton and to Bible League itself. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Off you go.
Thank you.
And I was going to say hello to everybody, to stand up and greet one another. Good morning. Welcome.
Thanks.
I'll catch you over the morning team, Milton.
Yeah, good.
All right, good.
Just before we hear from God's word, I'll pray for us. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, reading this morning, as Trevor mentioned earlier, is from Matthew. It's chapter 13, verses 44 to 52. The usual places will be on the screen, in your handout, or in the pew Bibles.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, beginning to read at the 44th verse. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may experience your Spirit guiding us into truth concerning what you wish for us to be taught today from it. May we meet Jesus. May we understand why you've brought him into the world and why we're filled with so much joy in knowing him that we're willing to give up all things to follow him. Father God, help me to teach your word correctly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Joy. What comes to mind when you think of joy to start with? Obviously, most probably another lady, a lady's name, or something like that. Maybe a person that you've thought of when you've first thing that came to your mind. But when I'm thinking about joy, what is it? Yeah?
Celebration.
It's different to happiness, isn't it? It's different to even being glad, you know, or having a good day. What makes joy different to happiness? Comes from the soul, comes from the heart, comes from the, yeah. Anything else about joy? It's something that lasts even and a resource that can be drawn on even in horrible times and difficult times. Which means like happiness. When I was thinking about it, happiness seems to be something that can happen one day but not be happy the next day. But joy is something that is lasting. It's awesome. You know, it's a constant thing of joy. Try to find a picture of joy. But here's one here of just this lady looking into the sky, content, but with joy. I was interested to see how many people from my playgroup, some of the mums, who had signed up, who had bought tickets to go and see Taylor Swift. You know, and it was amazing, the joy, oh yeah, I'm going to see, or the excitement of seeing Taylor Swift. Or it might be for some just going to see their favourite football team win a game, or that joy. But joy is more than those sorts of things. Joy is something that's just lasts and lasts. It's awesome. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, wrote these words: "The best news of the Christian gospel is the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself, so that we may find everlasting joy in seeing and savouring his infinite beauty." I love the word infinite there, of ongoing, everlasting joy of going forth. Well, today we have three parables that Jesus spoke, and we're not certain here. Matthew records these three parables, maybe just in the presence of the disciples only. The context would suggest that it's just the disciples there present. But most of the time, Jesus spoke parables to the crowds and then explained them to the disciples privately, the meanings. And today we're having three parables that we're looking at. Parable of the treasure that's found in the field, the parable of the pearl, the most precious valuable pearl that the merchant finds. And the third parable is the parable of the net, or the dragnet that's there. Because the parable of the dragnet is very similar to the parable of the weeds that we had last week, we're not going to focus on that one today. You can assume that that was the same as, very similar to the one that's on the parable of the weeds.
But we're going to focus on these two, parable of the treasure that's found in the field and the parable of the merchant finding the pearl. So I encourage you to open up your Bibles or to your news and notes, to the leaflet, to the printed out Bible verses there in front of you, and follow along with me. So let's firstly think of joy. The joy that Jesus speaks of in this first parable comes from the fact, and the joy in the other parable too, comes from the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 31 times in Matthew's gospel. Matthew records 31 times the kingdom of heaven, of which joy is found in there, and of which 30 of them are quotes that Jesus makes. One of them is from John the Baptist. And Jesus, in those 31 times, there's 30 times out of the 31 that Jesus makes referring to the kingdom of heaven, the very first time he mentions it, or Matthew records that he mentions it, is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, where he says, Matthew records that from that time on, that's after when John the Baptist had been imprisoned. You may recall that John the Baptist actually said this as well, and then Jesus picks it up. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Can some of you remember the old version or the other wording for "has come near" that may have been in the older versions or King James? The kingdom of God, heaven, or the kingdom of God is in. Sorry, Roy? Is at hand, yep. Or in the midst of you, all right? Has come near. In the midst of you is, commentators say, is a better translation because it helps us to focus on what is and or more specifically, who is the king of the kingdom of heaven, okay? So Jesus is saying, repent, change the way you think, for turn to Christ, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, is in the midst of you. I don't know if you've met someone famous while you've been out down at Warimba or Five Dock or in the city or somewhere. And these days, and you know, what happens is that you have people get their phone out and they go, oh, yeah. You know, they might even want to get a selfie, you know, with the person in the photo. And then they'll want to go and tell somebody, hey, guess who I met? You know, guess who I saw? Guess who was in the midst of us all here today? You know, this was such and such and such and such. If you're getting the picture here, I hope you are, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you. And so we come now to the very first parable here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Here, the first one is that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. But treasure, note here, that is hidden. All right, it's hidden. If something's hidden, it hasn't been able to be found. All right, so it's then this man is saying the kingdom of God is something that's found, that's a treasure, of which this particular person was willing to actually sell everything, not miss out on actually losing the treasure that he found, but sold everything and went back, dug up the treasure and found it and owned it as his. All right? The disciples, remember, are being taught by this. Let's put ourselves sitting with the disciples. They're hearing this parable for the first time. What would it have meant to them to hear this parable? I take it that Jesus is saying, you've found the treasure, you've found the kingdom of heaven and you've left everything to follow me, Jesus is saying to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And the mystery of the Christ and who he would be and had finally now been revealed in Christ himself. And the disciples had now come and followed, found him, left everything and found him. The kingdom of heaven, belonging to the king under his rule, in his place and living in the kingdom, is like finding treasure. Brothers and sisters, finding Jesus for those disciples, whether they realized it at that moment and all its joy at that moment, they did eventually realize that they had found true joy in finding the King of the kingdom. And now a part of it. And it was like treasure hidden in a field, and they found it, got it, and bought it, and left it, and followed him. We take on that too. As we grow as Christians, we can sometimes forget the first joy. Do you remember the first time the penny dropped for you? You may have never had a set time in your life where you found Christ. It might have been over a long period of time, but I'm sure there's a time in your life where just the penny dropped and you were filled with an overwhelming joy of just knowing that you were right with Christ. Right with God, you found who Jesus is and what he's done for you. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again and went and sold all he had and bought that field. He was more important knowing Christ than anything else. And is that true for us? Is that really true for us? Right? I hope so. The second of the parables is in Matthew 45 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had bought it. Right. I take it that here, it's an ongoing. Now that you know what to look for, it's again similar to the previous parable. But here it's like a merchant looking and trying to find, not just stumbling across it, but looking and finding out what this treasure is, and then when finding it again, selling everything that he had bought and bought that pearl. Jesus is that treasure, is that pearl, and belonging in that kingdom is having found that treasure, having found true joy. And I take it that the third of the parables there is to realize that, again, even though I said I wouldn't mention much in it, I said, I think the third of the parables there is to say to the disciples, when you get bored of this message and it becomes so familiar to you, remember what could have been for you, but isn't. Remember what could have been, but isn't, because you found Jesus. Gnashing of teeth. And be truly grateful. Maybe that's the reason why the third one's near as well. The last little verse there, verses 51 to 52, an unusual little verse there, but again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And he asks them the question now, have you understood all these things? Jesus asked them. Yes, they replied. yep, okay, all right. Yes, they replied, he said to them. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is not an easy little verse, couple of verses to understand. But the key thing there, again, is treasure, old and new, bringing out. Showing, making known. Remember, why would this be important to the disciples? For them to know this message that Jesus is teaching them? Because they were going to continue Jesus' ministry so that you and I and future generations and before and after would have it written down and known for us. Old and new, hidden, found.
It's Jesus. Old, pointing to Jesus. The new, old treasures. New treasure, Jesus. Fulfilling the old, the Christ. You now, disciples, are the ones who will continue and make that known. When they felt like most probably, this is hard work, being one of Jesus' disciples, carrying on Jesus' ministry, they would remember their joy. They've been reminded of the joy of what they have got and weren't given, and very grateful. But as they go on, they realize that, hey, this is great news, the gospel. This is what they're telling. And two, brothers and sisters, what we hear in the scriptures is the old storeroom of treasures pointing to Christ that are now new treasures, still old and new together. Notice, not out with the old, in with the new, but the old and the new come out, old pointing to Christ and to what the fulfillment is. You all got a palm cross in your hand as you came in today. Why is that? Again, do you remember? It's Palm Sunday. And as Rosemary mentioned early on in the piece of the service when we sang our first song, which pointed us also to the second coming of Christ. I don't know if you picked that up in the song. Jesus, we're reminded there that Jesus went into Jerusalem and he knew that the Passover was coming on the next Friday, and the crowds welcomed him, crying, "Hosanna, Saviour, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But he knew he was going towards the cross. And the cross was for that very purpose of bringing you everlasting joy. And even so, on that same Friday, on that Passover, when the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was executed, he willingly went there to take the punishment for our sins so that we might be forgiven. It was that same Friday on that Passover that the same crowd that was there on the Sunday that were crying out Hosanna were the same people who yelled out Crucify him. And yet he still went to the cross. I wouldn't. And I don't think you would either. But Christ went to the cross. The King of the Kingdom of Heaven. The treasure that you found. He's your treasure because of the joy that you have now of knowing that you have found Christ and all that he has done for you is true and effective for you. Remember John Piper's words. The best news of the Christian gospel is the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself, so that we may find everlasting joy in seeing and savouring his infinite beauty. Yes, there is much hardship in the world. Yes, there is much sadness in the world. Yes, there are three times as many people as one, you know, that are lost. The road is narrow. But we mustn't let the sadness of the lost and the sadness of the hurt rob us of the joy of knowing Christ and him crucified. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, it's okay for us to be glad, to be filled with joy, because we know of what treasure we have found in Christ. And belonging to him as our King in your kingdom. And to know that it is of great value to us that we belong to your kingdom and that we've found the King of the kingdom. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's reminded us today of where our joy is found. It's found in the one who fulfilled the old treasure and the new treasure in Christ, it's Jesus. Once hidden, now known to us. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.
Join with me in saying this psalm excerpt. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked, who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. In response to hearing God's word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. We're now going to stand and sing our second song for the day, Servants of the Gospel.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the power, kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for a closer union with Christ in his passion. Almighty ever-living God, you have given the human race Jesus Christ our Saviour as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering, and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. A prayer for Palm Sunday. We praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was hailed as king by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. May these branches be for us signs of his victory. Grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the ways that lead to eternal life. A prayer for Anglicare Ministry. Lord Jesus, we praise you, the servant King, who willingly gave up his life that we might live. We pray at this time for those who dedicate their lives in service of others. Particularly, we remember those working as Anglicare chaplains and pastoral carers, especially hospital chaplains. Protect them in their daily tasks and fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit as they minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of those they meet and assist them and their loved ones to negotiate the times of illness, grief, loss, and the hardships that occur in life. We offer our prayers for the Reverend David Anthony's as he faces these challenges as an Anglican chaplain at Concord Hospital. A prayer for Bush Church Aid. Father, we pray for the work of Bush Church Aid and for the Pharisees in Kununurra, Western Australia. In a community that is transient, we pray you will strengthen them, help them not to be discouraged, but rejoice that these people have had an opportunity to hear your word and grow in their knowledge of Jesus. Continue to provide them with all their needs as they serve you. In particular, we give thanks for the large number of their congregation who have joined a growth group for the first time this year. We pray that their Easter services, using the theme, Meet Jesus, is a success that many people in their community would be open to attending. We pray also for their mission week, April 7th to 14th, when a team from Moore College will be joining them to help proclaim Christ. Pray for the logistics, but mostly pray for the ministry opportunities, men's and women's evangelical events, a one-day holiday kids club called Mega Kids, and an evangelistic service. A prayer for the youth and support for Bible League. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Bible League, and in particular, the interest of our youth, Naomi, Charlie and Irwin, have taken up in learning more about its works and supporting it. We trust today's time with Hilton has been an encouragement for them and for Hilton. We pray for the work of the Bible League as it seeks to serve the under-resourced church globally through the provision of Bibles, biblical resources and training so as to transform lives worldwide and help people meet Jesus. A prayer for those who serve our communities. God of creation, we pray for all who work in agricultural and farming, in all industry and commerce, in education, in health and social services, sport and in the arts, in emergency services and the defence forces. Enable them to fulfil their responsibilities with integrity and faithful service to our community, living and working in harmony and safety, using the fruits of their toil for the good of all, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer for the Anglican Church. Almighty God, we pray for the Anglican Church in Australia, and especially our diocese in Sydney. We pray for Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our Regional Bishop, and Trevor, our Rector. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and minister your holy sacraments. We also pray for this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to live each day as ambassadors of your Son, Jesus. A prayer for refugees and victims of war. Lord God, no one is a stranger to you, and no one is ever far from your loving care. In your kindness, watch over refugees and victims of war, those separated from their loved ones, people who are lost, and those who have left home or have run away from home. Bring them back safely to the place where they long to be, and help us always to show your kindness to strangers and to all in need. A prayer for the poor, needy, sick, and vulnerable, and today especially for those suffering from cancer of any form or neurological diseases. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those who are sick and for those who minister to them. Grant them strength and perseverance in their weakness. In your mercy, quickly restore them to the health of body and mind according to your will, that they may give thanks to you in the presence of your people. Please take a moment to silently pray for those you know. And finally, a prayer for practical love for one another. Throughout this week, help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth and honour you in all we do. Lord, you have taught us that all our works without love are meaningless. Send your Holy Spirit, pour it into our hearts, so that all we do this week, we do in your name. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Okay, we have a few things, a reminder about Bible League next week, if you care to remember to bring a little bit of extra something along that you can contribute towards that to encourage both Hilton and our young folk. And this Wednesday, yes, Rosemary.
I'm just going to speak quickly to the
of the Passover meal on Wednesday. There's still plenty of time to put your name down. So if you want to pop your name down on the list at the back of the church. The meal will be gluten, dairy, and what's the other one? Lactose-free. That's it. So if you want to come along, we'd love to have you. Can you promptly get there for 6:30? Because we're going to try and start right on time, because I don't know if you were here last year. It is a long evening because we have a full meal and dessert afterwards. So if you can promptly be there at 6:30. And when you arrive, you can sit wherever you want. There'll be things on the table, but you need to keep your hands off them before we start, because they'll be part of that actual Passover meal that we'll be going through, the different elements on the table. So, if you can promptly be there at 6:30, that'd be great. And it's a great encouragement also if you want to invite friends along. We're happy to do that. We've got a couple from Playtime who are really keen on coming along, so that'll be a really lovely time for them. So just you need to let me know if that's the case. If you haven't got their names down, you can just give me a ring before Wednesday, just so we know how many places to set out. Thanks.
And a reminder about our Easter services. They are still at 9:30. Nothing changed there. So we have Good Friday the 29th of March, and then on the Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday service again at 9:30. So bring along your family and friends. Lovely. Okay, thank you again for those who are managing to contribute to our offertory, either online or in the box at the back. And a reminder about our mission focus. Each month there will be an envelope at the end of the pew that you can find if you want to help support that focus of the month. So that'd be great.
There's a handsome-looking man on page 4. In your Southern Cross magazine as you leave today, which is the Anglican newspaper. Very handsome-looking fellow. What? Not me? Oh, okay. Oh, it's my son. So you can, but be that as it may, there's lots of information in there about that keeps us up to speed with what's happening in other Anglican churches throughout our Sydney as well. So please take a copy and read it, or if you want to go online, just go onto the website and click on the Anglican web, link, and you can read it online.
And if you're needing special prayer at the moment, personal prayer, then Fiona and Tony will be on some chairs at the front here if you'd like to make use of that. After church, please stay for morning tea and continue fellowship. It's wonderful to see the sun out a little bit more now than it was earlier, so make use of the shade and the fresh air. It's a bit cooler now, which is nice to be out. Okay, we're going to go into our final song, Living Hope. Please stand.
This has been our theme song over the Lent period, so it's a great way to finish that period as we go into the week of Easter, that Jesus Christ indeed is our living hope. He hasn't stayed dead, he has been raised and is now living, and for a lot of us living in our hearts, and as Trevor's talked about this morning, he gives us great joy. So let's sing Living Hope.
Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. So great a mercy, what heart could fathom? beautiful Saviour, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Go to
whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.